Now, I'm not sure if you're going to be familiar with what you're listening to right now. If you are, then you're among the fortunate many who have caught on to this young composer. This is October. And I personally really enjoyed hearing this track because I'm an October baby, and as soon as I started listening to it, and my son is an October baby too, I just had a beautiful experience listening to this. But maybe you recognize this a little bit more. Hang on to me for just a second, all you listeners out there, as I, you know, cue up a little something a little different, and maybe something that you remember hearing over the last few weeks or so.
On this lonely path I've chosen, like a house that's not a home. Sometimes when I feel I've had enough.
For all of you Olympic addicts, and I think there should be a name for you. There probably is somewhere out there. I'm not familiar with what exactly it is, but many of you were singing this in the shower. And in your cars.
I believe together we'll fly. I believe in power.
The 21st Olympic Winter Games are awarded to the city of Frankfurt.
I like playing the one that's the YouTube version because you get to hear all this other great stuff and crowd noise and that sort of thing. That's right. On the phone with me right now is none other than Stéphane Mocchio. And for those of you who spent a lot of your time in front of the TV and the Olympics lately, you will have heard his composition. Stéphane, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I can't imagine what the last few weeks have been. You've got like the number one digital download of like Canada.
It's pretty crazy. It's been a beautiful ride, a very crazy one too, an intense one. So, but just very happy that our country embraced that song and theme so beautifully.
Well, it's just remarkable too because you achieved something that really fascinates me in music, and that is to create an epic sound, an epic song. Because this had to appeal to a whole bunch of different people. Like this was something that had to kind of be able to be infused in the blood of the athletes.
Exactly.
And that had to motivate the organizers and the people who are, you know, like it's so much work, it's so much effort, as much as people are in absolutely enjoyed it and were so proud, it's exhausting too. So there's like a motivational aspect there. So you managed to do this, and you worked with Alan Frew. Now, as I've got to tell you, as a girl, a good old Canadian girl, who grew up in the 80s, I've got to say that it was pretty exciting to hear that you had worked with him.
Yeah, Alan and I, we go back, we're friends, and he's a wonderful songwriter himself. And to kind of bring the story back, the song was originally written as an anthem at first. You know, it became an anthem, an instrumental anthem that I knew had everything an Olympic theme needed. It needed to be commercial, it needed to be hummable, it needed to be beautiful and melodic. And I wanted it to stay around for a long time, honestly. So, being a pop writer and a classical musician at the same time, I wanted something to brand our country. I didn't want it to be polite. Nor did I want it to be forgettable. So when I wrote the theme, it was just da 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 da, and I knew that was going to be the anthem. And then I had the opportunity to play for Alan as we were working together on other things. And Alan, of course, just immediately gravitated towards it and knew exactly what to do with the song lyrically. And you know, he wrote a beautiful lyric. I mean, it's hard to write a lyric for the Olympics because no matter what you do, you are putting it out there and for people to hear or not. But obviously, overall, the response has been extremely overwhelming. As you said, it's become the top downloaded song, the biggest song this year so far in Canada, and one of the top downloaded songs ever in Canada. And more importantly, by Canadian artists as well, Nicki Nofsky. I mean, because sometimes we don't even realize that a lot of our top downloads aren't Canadian artists.
No, exactly. So to combine all of those things, so that's huge.
It's huge. It's a major. So it's Canadian. You know, it's 100% that way. So.
How does one end up composing such a thing? Like,
The short story is back in '88. I was I don't know how old was I, 15 roughly, and David Foster did the Winter Games theme for '88. And at that time, I was already well aware of David and all the records that he was working on, and that blew me away. And I said to myself, one day I will write the theme when the Olympics come back to Canada, and because it was that powerful, I held on to that dream. And when we got the bid here for Vancouver, I immediately, within weeks, I actually just the theme came to me. It was literally I sung it into my telephone, and I said, idea for 2010 Vancouver theme. It's exactly how I said it. And I held on to that theme for a few years until I had the opportunity to meet with Keith Pelley, the president of the Olympic Consortium, and Yvonne Fitzon, the president of CTV. And from then on, I mean, these guys are wonderful gentlemen who got the vision immediately and knew what to do and how we could get it and get our country in. But I mean, I think the coolest thing, honestly, about this whole thing for me, apart from being in Vancouver and hearing everybody sing the song, it's been the huge response from the elementary schools and the children actually reaching out to us and saying, a lot of them were telling us that I Believe became their national anthem for the entire 2 weeks of during the Olympics.
Oh yes,
and it replaced the Canadian national anthem, and that I think is something that's just priceless, as they say in MasterCard commercials, but that you can't calculate for. And now that we, Alan and I, what we've created from a song perspective has now become part of our historic weave as a nation.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. And that way, and that I carry, that pride I walk around with now, and I will forever, knowing that. So, and, we knew it was good. We didn't know how good. No one knows how good, even though, I've written songs before. I've written many number ones as well before, but it was the Olympics. It could have gone either way because people are so emotional when it comes to the Olympics.
Oh, and territorial to a certain extent too.
Absolutely.
So that it's the whole idea of, okay, we need to be represented a certain way. There's the whole idea of ownership. And I think, there's something that I noticed about this track that I think, now I'm completely untrained musically, but I love music and it's been in me my entire life. In fact, Sheila means lover of music. Get that. It's crazy. And one of the things that I noticed about it that appealed to me immediately and that I had noticed in another quite famous theme song was Gump Sweet, which is the theme from Forrest Gump movies.
Yeah.
Starts out with this real softness and builds and builds and builds and becomes very, very epic and then comes back down to softness, and so does I Believe.
Did you actually do your research? Because that's a good comment, it's a brilliant comment, because I worked very closely with William Ross, who's the arranger of Forrest Gump.
I had no clue. I'm just that good.
You are that good. So, bingo.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bill's. I mean, of course, I had the honor of conducting and arranging the entire suite for CTV with members of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came time to doing the track with Nicky Noski, I called my friend Bill Ross as well, because we were the timelines and schedules for this was intense. It was a year and a half in the making, from theme to song, and bearing in mind that we also had a French version of the song. So
yes.
Long story short, Bill came in as well, and we tracked a lot of the orchestral stuff, and Bill worked on Forrest Gump, so there you go.
Wow. Well, I had a really similar reaction to these to both tracks when I actually watched the clip on Vivo through YouTube, and listened to it. I had that same lump in my throat and emotion and pride and everything mixed up. And I remember that I had just bought the Forrest Gump soundtrack and was listening to it in my room, and I heard this weird sound from downstairs, and I was totally, it was getting me. I was crying, and I walked downstairs and my mom was sitting in the living room like clutching her throat and bawling. And I think that like there's, you got that, like,
yeah.
it's the sweetness,
yeah,
with it, but with the power in it too.
Thank you.
Mind blowing.
No, thank you. No, it was a beautiful collaborative work with a lot of people, and really a long time coming. And we had, I had this secret, that I wasn't able to share with many of my friends and fans as well as an artist. It was tough to hold it back, but it was worth it. And particularly when we saw the release every night, it was wonderful to see up against the montage against the athletes. And so it was extraordinary.
I was just looking on your website, which is Stephan, Stephan, Moccio, Moccio.com. For February, it's got, so Canadian, number one Canadian Billboard Hot 100 chart. And then that was 3 weeks at number one. And then number one Hot Digital Song chart, number one Emerging Canadian Artist Nicki Yanofsky, number one iTunes since February 9th. Oh my, it's like, it's insane. And then here it is.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's
beautiful.
It's a big, I don't know, I'm just completely, I'm so taken with it. And it was interesting to watch how people, like the Olympics this time were different too because of the digital world. Now I remember 88 very well. My uncle actually was a limo driver when we were, he lived in Canmore and he went up working in Calgary during the Olympics, and we were so excited about that. And he sent us all of his gear, his Olympic gear, which we still have. And we sent that into school with the kids. What you were mentioning about the elementary schools, the elementary school where my eldest son, who's seven, goes, is my alma mater. And the gym teacher there, her name's Sheila Bowen. And she has been the gym teacher there since I was in kindergarten in like 79, 80. And probably won't be too many more years before she decides to retire. But she got the kids so revved up over the Olympics that it was just like everywhere kids were doing these I Love Canada things. And like, it was just, they had their own opening and closing ceremonies. And I know they used your song. Like, I think connection with all age groups is extremely important, but connecting with the kids like that,
It was. I mean, even for me, to take a conscious decision to use the children's choir in the end. And I mean, I know it's been done before, but I'd also heard some Olympic songs that for me never took it to the end. I mean, and again, that's debatable. I get that. And there were some amazing ones as well. So I listened to all the great Olympic themes that were ever composed, or at least the ones I thought have been the best in the world. And I've also listened to some terrible ones as well. And I knew that this country, I wanted to give back that same feeling that David gave us in 88. And I knew we just did not want to lose this opportunity. I wanted Canada to sort of be, to shine. And we did in a big way, obviously, with our athletes and the music to underscore that. I mean, and bear in mind as well, Sheila, the score, people were hearing it 22 hours a day on CTV stations across the country. In over 225 variations of the theme, so they were hearing that, and then they were hearing the song. So it was no different than a movie underscore, and then you're hearing the theme song at the end.
Yeah. How long does it take to compose such a thing? Do you have a timeline on that?
Well, the composition part, the actual melody coming in my head, the second
that just happened.
Was,
yeah,
that just, it was a pure drop of inspiration. The actual composition, the orchestrating, the arranging. It took a year and a half.
Wow!
I mean, only because, like I said, Yvon Fitzon, who's the CEO of CTV, he's also a creative gentleman who understands the power of music, understands how that works and emotionally works as well on an amazing television broadcast. So he was very generous in terms of allowing, for the freedom, and he and I had a lot of discussions over the last year and a half and how this was going to weave into the consciousness of Canadians, and he did the right thing. He really did it. He didn't hold back on it. He allowed me to write, like I said, 225 variations for emotional ones, bad ones, dramatic ones when we win, but they all based on the same melody that Nicki Yanofsky sang it on the song.
Wow. It must be something too to have a moment where like you it's about finding something that could be a really great anchor and that's also extremely flexible. Like to be able to hear the dark part of it, or to be able to hear the right. extremely epic part of it, like that for a composer too, that must be an extremely colorful experience. Like it's almost like you have to set all these different moods, but with one bass.
Yes, exactly. It's one theme, but it's just then my arsenal as a composer comes in, how I color each version and tempos as well, but play a role in that. And but again, like I said, I was very grateful for the opportunity. It's a dream opportunity as a composer to have the opportunity to work on that, and to use symphonic orchestra and world class musicians, and also do hip hop variations on the same theme. It's so the scope, it was massive for it. And again, it's just been extremely overwhelming. It's impossible to keep up with all the thousands and thousands of schools across the country. and these kids, like you said, they're going to grow up now, whether they're 10 years old or 15, 20, but the next 40, 50 years, they will all identify and remember where they were in 2010 and what music was associated with their emotion and their visual when they watched the games hosted by Canada.
You're a part of the soundtrack of our lives.
You've
that's
got it.
Huge. All right, we'll be back in just a sec. We have to play the song. That's all there is to it. We have to. Here comes I Believe. Stephen Mokyo and Alan Frew. Here it is. And of course, and it's Nikki Yanofsky. Beautiful, gorgeous, clear, powerful voice. Here she is on CJMQ.
There comes a moment when my heart must stand alone on this lonely path I've chosen, like a house that's not a home. Sometimes when I feel I've had enough and I feel like giving up, you will me to be all I can be. Now nothing can stop me. That comes from a world brought together as one. I believe together we'll fly. I believe in power.
The 21st Olympic Winter Games are awarded to the city of Vancouver.
This is the moment we have dreamed of all our lives. We'll be the change we wish from others. We'll stand tall for what is right. And in my heart there'll be no doubt, the arms of the world will come reaching out and embrace me to be all I can be. Now nothing can stop me. I believe in the power that comes from a world brought together as one. I believe together we'll fly. I believe in the power of you and I.
Like, how can you not feel, like, listening to I Believe, I find, makes it so I want to move, I want to stand, I need to be, like, mighty, like, I can't just kind of listen to me, oh, like, that's my little background, no, I feel like I need to go places and do things. So, Stefan, now you're, this is Stefan Mokyo, by the way, everybody, if you missed the first part of the interview, you're going to have to go and podcast it, because it's so much fun. Stefan Mokyo, composer of I Believe, collaborated with Alan Frew on this one, and so, on tour now, a tour of madness.
Yes.
Like, there are more dates than there are days in the month, I think.
And we had committed ourselves to this tour. I mean, because you know, I guess my music, my piano music in particular, is very popular in Quebec and the province, and I'm a huge fan of Quebec audiences. I find them very, very warm and very excitable and just expressive. So we had, I think when we even committed to the tours, we didn't even know that the Olympics were for sure.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, though, it's a good grounding. It's back to reality. I spent the 2 weeks out at the Games, and that was extraordinary as well unto its own self. But there was an energy in Vancouver that I don't think that city will ever see for quite some time, but it was an amazing thing to see all the people in the streets. So, I didn't even answer your question here.
The thing is that totally does segue from the question, because it has to do with what you've just been involved in, this extreme energy, and now you're pooling your energy almost overnight to hit the road and share with audiences not just the song that all of us have heard so much and enjoyed so much, but also the rest of your works, which are just as powerful and endearing and storytelling. There are stories, and that's one of the things I love about your music. Everything you listen to, you're like, oh, just a second here, something went wrong. Or there is some questioning going on here. We're not sure what's going to happen. You know, like, I love that in the mood.
And that's well said. And, I get the opportunity, if people get to come up to my show, I get to the opportunity to explain the inspirations behind the pieces. And I do play, songs for my piano record, but I also do play a lot of my hit songs that I've written for other people.
Like who?
Well, Josh Groban, Celine Dion, Sarah Brightman, and now
three of the
exactly.
Who else can list like those? Those are among the powerhouse voices of the world of all time. Josh Groban, and who, like, very much a career very much connected with Celine Dion too, and Sarah Brightman. She is Christine.
They're all beautiful, beautiful instruments. Their voices, and I'm definitely drawn to beautiful voices. And I've written some rock songs as well too. For example, I wrote "Alive" by Edwin years ago, which is sort of not extreme from those artists, but they certainly are on a whole other plane. I just love good music. I've enjoyed international success. It's hard to go back, and the one thing that I find most addictive for me is for the world to hear melodies and songs that you've created. So the Olympics were, in a lot of ways, a very natural progression for me in my career, and particularly with my age, because I'm a 30-something-year-old man, and I'm old enough and I'm young enough. It's a really good place to be in life, to understand, where we're going. I'm a father now too, so I've got a sense of responsibility for the kids and for children growing up. And I wanted to ensure that people enjoy the music. So
I think that's it's extremely important to incorporate that like, it's this sense of purpose thing and this certain element of handing down something
exactly.
too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a high school librarian part-time, and let me tell you, I'm handing down, I don't know what, but all the time, five mornings a week to 400 and some students. So I get that.
I get that.
We wind up with there's some kind of, you're shouldering some sort of thing of the future, for
right,
sure.
Exactly.
All right, so the tour, you're going to be here at Centennial Theater, which is a beautiful spot for a show, a really lovely, lovely theater, on March 19th at 8 p.m. And wait a second here, let me go and check. I know I got a little bit more of the specifics for this one. Where are they? Sonia Patinode, who's super fantastic manager at Centennial, is the one who has given me all this information. So regular tickets are $23. Seniors, it's $15, and students with an ID is $15 as well. I have the distinct impression that this is not going to be just a guy with a piano on a stage. Like, there's so much spirit and there's so much liveliness and such a quality of I don't know that, like, there's some kind of
I want people to come out and enjoy themselves, and that's sometimes the misperception of what's going on with the piano recital. It's not just a piano recital. I want to break the mold. I want people to know that the piano is actually really a cool, great, fantastic instrument. I've been playing it all my life, and I have a chance to talk. I talk during the concert, typically between each piece, and I just tell people where stories of the inspirations behind that particular piece or whatever I'm playing for that artist. Like I may play a rendition of a Josh Groban song.
Wow. Well, there's, I think one thing you'll appreciate about Centennial as well, too, and that anybody who's considering buying tickets should just not even do this consideration process and just go and get them, because there is something about a show at Centennial that is very intimate, and you will, in spite of being able to house quite a number of people, so I think that you'll just know that from the audience's perspective, and for myself having attended shows there before where the artists in question have attempted that connection, it happens, and we can hear you and see you, and we're it's like we're surrounded. You're there.
It's very intimate, I'd like to be very much integrated with my audience and just feel connected to them, because it's so key to having a great show. So I promise you, whoever comes, it will be great.
March 19th at Centennial Theater, and the tickets are so reasonable. 23 for the regular price, 15 and 15 for seniors and students with ID. So you seniors, bring your ID, eh? We're going to be carding you. Look out. So you know what? You're not getting out without the Final Four, and I know that the DH Radio listeners, the Dishpan Hands listeners, are going to be waiting for this, because they're like, she's got Stefan Mokyo on the phone. She better ask. So here you go. Stefan Mokyo, composer, amazing Canadian, what would you say would be your greatest strength, or among your greatest strengths?
you got to love these questions.
Here's my James Lipton self with my stack of blue cue cards. Go.
Oh, my God. My greatest strength, I'm obsessive and I'm relentless. So, I do see things through. When I'm committed, I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Like I said, I told Celine Dion I'd write her a hit song. I wrote her a hit song, or a comeback song. If I tell somebody I'm going to write an Olympic theme song,
and then it's going to come to you, bam, just like
exactly.
That. All right. Well, then, countering that, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
I'm obsessive and I'm relentless. Same thing. So you know what they always say: the thing that makes you great is also the thing that makes you evil.
Oh,
so
I hear you. I know mine very well. Anybody who looks on anything of mine, if I need a nickname for something, it's always exubereactor. I am the exuberant reactionary, which is both my greatest strength and my greatest weakness.
That's funny.
So okay, obsessive and relentless one. What would you say then is your favorite candy?
Oh geez, you know what? I had to choose a couple, because I mean I'm a child of the late 70s, so
mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with Fun Dip.
Oh,
love Fun Dip, and it's got to be cherry or orange, and or Sweet Tarts, and again the cherry kind. But you can see the kind of candy I like.
Did you make this to stick last until the end?
Pardon me?
For Fun Dip, could you make the stick last? Did you eat all of the powder?
Oh, it went both ways. It depends if my parents gave me enough money to get a couple bags. If I only got one bag for 15 cents, I would actually lick that thing for an entire day. So, and if I knew I had another bag or two, I would just bite that thing down so fast. So, and I don't know what that says about the personality, but I'll just leave it at that. How about you, Sheila? Did you hold on to it, or did you just...
You know what? I'm laughing so hard because I ate exactly the same. I buy like three bags, eat like all the two sticks.
Of course.
In, like,
and I would buy sometimes. And they would do it purposely. They would actually mix. They'd mix one great flavor with a crappy flavor, And... you'd end up having like cherry, and then I don't know, you'd have some sort of tropical makeup, some obscure flavor you'd never heard of, and you just never went to it. But or the orange with the grape, and you always wanted the orange.
Well, I have to say that I don't know how. Now we were discussing off the air. We're actually 1 year and 3 days apart in age, and our your daughter and my son are like three weeks apart.
We're born in 1984.
Yes, exactly. So because of that, and because of the high consumption of Willy Wonka candy, see, I'm not really that worried about like I, about the fact that I would have cavities, but I'm a little concerned about the inside of my mouth, and I can't believe that I didn't somehow completely just burn a hole through, because we were eating like the most sour, you know, from sweet tarts to bottle caps to whatever. Like,
well, so Starbursts are in there too. Oh. Actually, they were a great candidate, the Starburst, and just fantastic, fantastic cavity moments there.
So, what would you say? Would you like to be remembered for? Now, we already know one thing for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I accomplished it with I Believe. No, I'm joking. You know what? In all honesty, I do feel like I'm just beginning, even though I know people are going crazy. It's it's been in my nature. I've been a musician from the age of three. I've always dreamed, always knew my music would be heard. I just didn't know to what degree. But I was, you know, again, back to the relentless thing. I was never going to let go until I knew that I could say the world or the globe could actually, my music could fly around. So what would I like to be remembered as? You know what, on a very serious note, I love inspiring people. I've been inspired my entire life about a lot of things, and I just hope that... It translates into my personal life as a father and as an artist. I just hope that I can leave something back, and in my music actually, because sometimes could just make somebody feel something. That's all.
Oh, inspiration! I think that's beautiful. That right there, because it's this way of instead of being like, well, I would like to live on, and then well, you already sort of know the things that are going to live on, but if you create a spark, and it's just a little, you know, it's the spark that this person decides to take, and it, for them it becomes this bonfire, you know, like, then it doesn't even have to do with us anymore. It's an amazing thing to be able to sit back and watch somebody go.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You get to inspire. You know what? I think you can just keep going, because we know you're relentless and obsessed, but these things are going to happen. That's it's just without a doubt. You are, as of Vancouver 2010, and the world 2010, an icon forever. And we get to see you on March 19th. Thank you so much for being a part of DH Radio. What an amazing opportunity.
My pleasure. No, it's a fantastic question, Sheila. And I look forward to seeing you.
Can't wait to see you too. Stefan Mokyo. Yes, folks, that amazing talent. We're going to be so lucky to actually have Stefan Mokyo here in town at Centennial Theatre on March 19th. Now, just go and check out his stuff and eat it up, because when you have a chance to go and see him, you'll appreciate it that much more. It's going to be a terrific, terrific show. So we're going to play another one of his tracks. This one is called October, and was one that I identified with right away, being an October baby myself. So is Stefan. We found out that he's a year and 3 days older than me, so that's kind of cool beans. And his daughter, also an October baby, the same as my son, just a couple of weeks apart. Pretty neat. Anyway, I think it really invokes that whole seasonal feeling. And here it is, a beautiful, beautiful track. Stefan Mokyo with October on CJMQ 88.9 FM.